Blog Talk Radio.
Radio for January the 26th, 2015. It's your host, Wayne Benitez, the number one student of the game, pro wrestling. Hey, folks, I'm on this blizzard of 2015 in the Northeast. Everything's appears it's going to be shut down, even definitely Monday Night Raw. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest for you also tonight. She's a former WCW women's wrestler, Malaya Hosaka, and currently is one half of Shine's Tag Team Champion. Tag Team Championship. Give it up for Malaya Hosaka. Yes, hello? Hello? Guess we're having technical difficulties. Wrestling It Factor. Yes, a little more tidbits also. It just things just been going on all over the Northeast. Even that lackluster Royal Rumble from last Sunday. So horrible, just one main event match that stood out was the world title match, which was a 4.5-star match of Lesnar, Rollins, and Cena. The match of the night, all three of them worked their asses off, and Brock Lesnar sold, definitely. Definitely a great finish, and the Royal Rumble was so horrible. From top to bottom, and it seemed like a jobber, some type of job around us, so it's crazy. And we have a long show tonight. And what y'all think of opinions of Royal Rumble? You can call in if you're feeling me. Your opinions on the Rumble. And let's go back to a commercial break. So we'll be back soon.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is December 17, 2014. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Very happy today to be joined by Jeff Jarrett. Global Force Wrestling is the topic today. And, Jeff, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate you guys having me on. Looking forward to chatting. It's been a while. When I woke up this morning and was looking at my schedule, how long has it been since I've talked with you, Dave, or Brian?
It had to have been a yada.
God, I can't remember. I mean, I can't remember a conversation with you, which is actually quite humorous. But anyway, yeah.
But no, I mean, I want to say it's been 7 or 8 years since I've been on a podcast or interview or something like that with either one of you guys. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're here to talk about New Japan now.
Well, let's start with the number one question that everybody has asked, the most obvious question.
Which one's that? There's so many.
All right, this is my most obvious question. Tell us what Global
Force... Who's the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans next year? I have no clue. That's the biggest question going on around in Nashville.
That's right. Global Force Wrestling. We've heard the name for a long time. Obviously, you're co-promoting the Tokyo Dome, or at least the pay-per-view aspect of it here in the United States. You're doing a lot of different things, but the number one question is, what exactly is Global Force Wrestling, and what can you tell us about your plans?
Global Force Wrestling is a professional wrestling promotion, and there was a guy in Scotland he came up with a little term that's not really revolutionary, but he said, is it going to be a standalone? And I said, I think I'm going to use it. Yes, we are in the process of forming a promotion. We're going to have our own rosters, our own champions, venues, live events, sponsorships, everything that I guess I'll say traditionally goes into a wrestling promotion. But I'm, when you say that's the number one question, that excites me because, that's all a part about brand awareness. People, last April 7th, 2014 is when I just named the company or release the name of the company. And we've gone along step by step. And, I've said this on several interviews. The things that I have seen, and I've been around the business a long time, as you guys know, is that not just in wrestling, any kind of product or brand, you rush a brand to market when it's not ready, when it's not clearly defined, when it doesn't have any kind of momentum, that's a recipe for a disaster, for a failure. So I'm methodically rolling it out step by step, along with the partnerships, it's all part of it, that I've formed around the globe, pun intended, in that we have a philosophy that's a little bit different. It's not revolutionary. Back in the day, a lot of promotions worked together, and in Japan, they still do. But I, in North America, wrestling fans, wrestling promotions have pretty much acted like they're the only promotion that exists, and if they do mention another promotion, they don't talk, very good about it. We got a different philosophy. We are going to recognize promotions from around the world, talent exchanges from a talent around the world, and want to work hand in hand, and are going to promote, the other brand because the world is so connected. You ask me why would I, I'm jumping ahead, but you say, well, why do you believe that? I just believe the world with the age, the digital age, that the wrestling fan, my kids can go watch a match from New Japan, from AAA, from a German independent promotion, from Ring of Honor, all in 20 or 30 minutes. So it's not like, I just don't think it's healthy for a promotion to act like there are no other promotions.
Now, in kind of like your, is there any kind of a timetable as far as television, closing a TV deal, and then when you get TV and you're ready to start, would it be accurate to say you're going to have your base American roster? And then if you do TV tapings, would that mean that you would bring some guys in from Japan or Europe or whatever? You would have like your...
Wrestling It Factor. I've been having these technical difficulties. Let's take another quick commercial break. Let's try again. Wrestling It Factor. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Wrestling It Factor. Is this Malaya Hosaka?
This is Malaya.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Hi.
I'm so sorry about that. Technical difficulties. I don't know if it was all these storms in the Northeast happening with the with Blog Talk Radio Wrestling It Factor.
It's all right. I'm glad I got through.
How is your day so far?
Oh, it's good. How is everything up there besides being cold?
It's good, yeah. Yeah, still trying to survive it. Wish I can press forward for spring.
Oh, don't we all?
Yes, we do.
So, are we doing an interview or...
Yes, we're definitely doing an interview questionnaire. Yes, what was your background besides wrestling before you started?
I was a jock in high school. I played softball, and I was on the volleyball team, things like that. But
awesome.
Other than that, really didn't have a... didn't really do a whole lot. I was also kind of a nerd in school, so just hit the books until spring came around, and then I was on the softball team.
Awesome. And how was it like to be trained by Killer Kowalski?
Well, Killer trained me to work with Misty Blue, so it was actually Misty Blue's school that I went to. He was just a trainer. So I got such an incredible start in the industry with knowledge that he provided me at that school. It was nowhere near like going to Killer Kowalski's original school, because I know that his school is incredibly tough, where he kind of babied the girls that were at Misty's school, because he wasn't there to really weed any of us out. We were just at a camp to learn and hopefully join her little stable of girls on the road at that time, wrestling around. And so he just came in and he taught us everything he possibly could over a two-week period of time.
Yes, it's actually so many graduates that came from Killer Kowalski School, like the Triple H, the Chynas, the Alberts, Perry Saturn, and April Hunter.
April Hunter's not from Kowalski School that I know of.
Oh, April Hunter. Okay.
Maybe she is, but I don't remember that. But anyway.
Right. And do you have any idols before you started wrestling? Any ones in the business that you looked it up to?
any idols. Not really before I started in wrestling, because I wasn't a huge fan of it. Once I got involved in wrestling, you know, definitely Luna Vachon was had a huge impact on my career and the way I view a heel persona and just the intensity that it takes to go into the ring each and every time you step in, whether you're a babyface or a heel. I love Bambi's fire. I had Leilani Kai, Judy Martin, Debbie Combs. They all kind of took me under their wing and brought me along in my career and taught me and shaped me into the wrestler that I became. And then as I started traveling around, you know, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, they were all fantastic wrestlers.
And definitely Hall of Famers, Benoit and Guerrero.
Oh, absolutely.
And what are your memories of your debut wrestling match?
Being completely lost, and I should not have been in a ring yet. But it was in Holyoke, Massachusetts, actually working on a show for Kowalski. I was Misty Blue's partner, and I went against Linda Dallas and her sister Mad Dog Debbie. So it was a tag match. It was my first experience being in the ring. I was green. I had no clue what I was doing. I mean, fortunately, Misty's girls worked in routines, so I knew the routines that they did, and I knew what to expect. But as far as, like, actually being physically ready to be in there, I don't think I had any business being in the ring at that point.
Yes. Do you have any memories of working at ladies' Pro Wrestling Association?
I have lots of memories. I mean, you're going to have to be a little bit more specific than that. I mean, I worked for several all women's companies.
What was one
companies.
Of your best match work there also with any individual?
Well, I mean, when I was with LPWA, I was still very green and learning, and Leilani and Judy were just, again, trying to teach me and help me learn because, as I said, I had been taught to work in routines, and I didn't know that from a headlock you did not have to do a headlock takeover. So they kind of retrained me out there on the fly and before the shows and things like that. So I think that was one of the biggest things about being part of LPWA that I'm very thankful for, is that I was able to meet veterans like that who were understanding enough that they took the time for those of that us that wanted to learn to teach us and to help us learn and get better at the craft and understand what we needed to be bringing to the ring every time we went there.
Yes. How was it like teaming with and working with Bambi as a tag team?
It was great. I mean, Bambi had all the fire and the energy, and she, just watching her and being her partner, it was an amazing experience. I can't say enough about learning from her ringside and in a locker room and just watching her in her psychology and being her tag partner.
And do you have any memories of working with Judy Martin?
I have memories of working with them because they were the main ones that we did angles with out there. You know, they were the queen in the queen's court. But I think one of my best memories was years later when I wasn't even with LPWA. I was just working an independent show up in North Carolina, and I was working against Leilani Kai, and at the end of the match, I hit the Frankensteiner, I got the pin, and as I came up from the pin, I got attacked from behind, and I was like, what the hell? And the next thing I know, it's Judy Martin hit the ring from nowhere, didn't tell the promoter she was going to do it, didn't tell anybody, it was just kind of a surprise. And it was fun. It was awesome. I was like, oh, my God, it's Judy. Hey, I haven't seen you in like 4 or 5 years. How you doing?
and that was actually the LPWA Supers Ladies Showdown in 92.
Well, that's where I met Leilani and Judy. This was actually where she did that, was actually on an independent show several years later, probably not until like 94, 95, somewhere in there.
Yes, and do you have any memories of working in ECW the first year of his existence?
Well, I mean, I worked ECW. My first match there was actually against Molly McShane, and we were just kind of thrown on the show last minute because I was dating somebody up in that area, and I went to the show with him, and not really good memories of how I got the opportunity to be on the show, but it was definitely a great opportunity to go out there and try to showcase what we could do and have an opportunity. The next time I worked for ECW was when they brought me in. I think it was November to Remember or something like that. And I took Medusa Michelli's place to wrestle against Sherry Martel. And that's really the only two experiences that I can recall that I actually had any type of a payday or opportunity to work at ECW. I was never known as a hardcore wrestler, so I don't think I ever really fit in with their style.
And but you was definitely in there with the best Hall of Famer, Sherry Martel.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wrestled against Sherry Martel, but that, you know, I was fortunate enough again to have worked on the independent circuit, and I got to work with Sherry several times throughout my career over the indies, you know, up in Ohio area and Pennsylvania. And I mean, Sherry, again, was an amazing wrestler. You can't step into a ring and go against somebody like that and not learn. It's, you know, I've been very fortunate in my career in the fact that I have been one of the few that have still around today that can say that they wrestled the elite of the veterans that were around in my day.
Yes. Yeah, Sherry Martel left us early at a very young age. She definitely still missed to this day in the business.
Absolutely. As did Luna Vachon and several other wrestlers.
Yes. What was your memories of Todd Gordon, the ECW former owner?
Of who?
Todd Gordon.
I don't have any memories of him. I probably met him when I was there, but, you know, again, I only worked for them twice, so.
Right. And also, you definitely also made your debut in WCW. How was it like to perform and on Nitro your first time?
I mean, I think it's an opportunity. At the same time, it was a little disappointing because I knew that I was just simply there to be a body for Medusa to work with. Terry Taylor tried to keep me employed there, and he tried to do something, but I don't really think that the powers that be ever really saw any type of potential, because Medusa was on the forefront right then, and it was very specific about the direction that they felt the women's wrestling needed to go in, and at that time they didn't think that really there was any American wrestlers, or the women's division wasn't really anything to build up upon. I can't say that I regret working for WCW, because by no means do I. I think WCW was an amazing company to work for, and I always enjoyed being there. I just would have wished that they could have done more with the women's division than what was done at the time that I was there.
Yes, I think they should have done very more with that division, and definitely the cruiserweight division also. But during that time, they was mainly focused on more of the like the NWO and Hogan and the Flairs during that time. I think they should have gave the women more time to work also.
Mm-hmm.
And how was your memories of Sonny Ono?
I mean, Sonny was nice. I don't have anything bad really to say about Sonny. He managed me the one time, but it's not like he and I were close personal friends. It was just, you know, he's Japanese, I was Japanese, and I think they felt that, you know, because he had the feud going with Medusa, and he was bringing in Akira Hokuto and things like that, so I just kind of got paired up for him, I think more just as the, to further the storyline along for him.
Yes, definitely. But I definitely like love your work with Medusa also on Nitro during those times. I definitely like the work ethic.
Well, thank you.
And also, you also worked with Zero also. How was that also?
Oh, that was embarrassing. Absolutely 100% embarrassing. And not because of Zero, but because I think that she and I could have actually had a really great match, but it was a squash match. That's all I was there to do, was just to be totally squashed. I went out there, I did what the company wanted me to do, and when they called me to come to work for them again, I told them I had no interest in being squashed. I had a career outside of their company, and unless they wanted to give me a contract and support me, that wasn't fair. I have no problem putting anybody over, but the way they did it was completely and 100% totally wrong to have treated me that way.
Right. And also during that time, it was the also Kevin Sullivan was also sort of like the head booker, along with Eric, with usually Eric Bischoff also having a say.
I mean, Kevin was doing a lot of it. I've heard Medusa say she didn't have any pull. At the time, I was being told that Medusa had all of the pull. I don't really know. I didn't get into the politics, and that's always been part of my problem, is that I don't play politics in this business. I speak my mind. I stand up for myself. I try to stand up for the other girls when necessary, but I try to avoid the politics. So I can't tell you who was actually doing the booking and the story writing over the girls' division. I don't know that.
And you definitely also worked with late Lonnie Town also on WCW Saturday Night. How was that also?
Well, I mean, when I worked with Leilani on Saturday Night TV, it was great because I had so much experience in working with her from the LPWA, and I had come so far along in my career at that point, it was stepping back into the ring on more equal footing and having more confidence in my abilities at that time. So I have nothing really bad to say about any of the memories that I have in the industry. I mean, every experience that I've had from LPWA to prior to LPWA to, you know, up to this point now has shaped the wrestler that I became. And everybody along the way that helped me, whether it was a good influence or in a bad influence, they helped shape my career and helped me become the person and that I am.
Yes, definitely. That was actually definitely a legend. Definitely late Lonnie Tai.
And are also, we on the air right now?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Right. I was just making sure with any technical issues right now.
No, I know. That's the reason I was kind of asking if we're on the air right now. I didn't know, you know, if this was live or if it's recorded.
Right. And also, you worked with Carol Hokuto also on Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
How was working with a worker like her?
Again, it was a great learning experience. I'm really, honestly, I don't know what you're looking for from me on any of these. You can go through every person I've ever worked with in my entire career, and I'm going to tell you it was a great learning experience. Whether it be good or bad, I learned something and I stepped away from that ring, taking something from it. There's no one that I'm going to tell you that, I mean, it sucked or it didn't suck, or I mean, I walked away from the ring, whether I was happy with the match or not happy with the match, whether I liked the person or whether I disliked the person, I learned something every time I got in the ring, and I still do to this day. No, I mean, you're talking about people that were, I'd say, out of everybody that you've asked me about, Leilani is the only one that I can say that I talk to on a personal basis at any point in time throughout the years. I am not close personal friends with anyone else that you have mentioned. We were professional acquaintances.
Right. Was it true that that you and Nora Dreamwell said that trying to accuse that she had using her or something like that?
I do feel like Nora Dreamwell used me for my connections in the business. Yes. Her fifth match of her career, she was appearing on WCW Saturday tapings. She did a dark match for WCW's Nitro up in Tallahassee, Florida. She didn't even have real wrestling gear at that point. And then after she started growing in her career and started gaining opportunities, she basically cut me loose. So, yes, I completely feel like Nora Greenwald used me for my wrestling connections, and when I was no longer useful for her career, she moved on. We've settled that score. We've buried that hatchet, but it doesn't matter how much I forgive her for the way things went down or how much we talk it over. That's the way I felt about it.
And also, you was also did an angle in WWE with definitely challenging for the women's title and got attacked by Nicole Bass.
It was supposed to be kind of a Rocky Balboa storyline. 5 minutes after I did it, it was all over the internet who I was, so they axed that and kind of sent me home, and I just waited around to see if anything would ever become of it.
Right, and 30 was actually a short-term stay. Actually, you was mostly in their developmental, mostly then on TV?
I was never on WWF's TV after that. They signed me, I think that was in, when did I do that? That was early 99 that I did that. They finally offered me a contract somewhere around August of 99. I signed it in October of 99 when they told me they had a storyline for me, and they released me the following year in November, December of 2000.
I still remember that you was supposed to have been paired up with S.A. Rio, but they had a change of plans and brought in, was it Amy Dumas?
Lita, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, originally they were bringing me in. I was going to be known as Aphrodisia, and I was going to be paired with S.A. Rios, and then they decided that Amy Dumas fit that role a little better, and they replaced me with her since I hadn't actually walked him to the ring and come out with him at that point, which was fine. Lita went over well, and I do think her look worked well with him.
And also, have you traveled to other countries to work?
Yeah, I've been to Japan a couple of times, as well as I did Armed Forces Entertainment tours, and I've wrestled all over the world.
Definitely, there's a lot of women's promotions out there. In other countries out there in Europe and Japan, even in Germany. What is your opinion on women wrestling today? You think it's well more put together than the early 2000s?
No, I don't. I think we had a lot more respect for women wrestlers in the early 2000s because we were viewed more as athletes than we were a TNA show. Now any two models that feel like putting on something skimpy and rolling around in the ring are considered wrestlers. I think there are a few women's companies out there like Shine that showcase what women wrestlers are, what women wrestlers are capable of doing, and there is a fan base for it, and I applaud these companies. But overall, no, what WWE presents as female wrestling is not wrestling. It's an embarrassment to what I consider roads that were paved by Leilani Kai and Judy Martin and Wendy Richter and Moolah, and it is degrading to professional women athletes in general. And as far as the lack in the art and the talent that it takes to go out there to abuse your bodies to entertain the fans, these girls have no respect for me, and they never will have any respect for me.
I agree with you 100%. Definitely. Vince, in their trade of making a mockery of the women for 9 years. And I just hope they really bring it up just like they do NXT, that Triple H is the head booker of NXT with the women. They more respected over there, but when they get to the TV on to Raw, it's like they downsize them, and I don't think that's fair or anything right there.
Right.
What is your first impression of Shimmer when you first started working with him?
I thought they were an incredible company. I thought they had a lot of talented women, and they really wanted to make something of women's wrestling, and that they were wanting to run stories and angles and build characters and build a following. That's, you know, that was my impression of them.
Yeah, she was definitely in a lot of tag matches working there with the likes of Lexi Fife. Y'all worked on and off at Shimmer. How was like that working with her?
I mean, working with Lexi was it was a cakewalk. It was easy. She, you know, being able to tag out to somebody who can help carry the match or and work with the talent that was there, you know, it was a night off. It was fun. It was put some passion back in the ring for me because it wasn't just working on an indie show to get a payday. It was actually going in the ring to have fun.
Definitely. And you definitely worked with females like Portia Perez when she was actually very young coming into Shimmer, along with Serena Deeb also.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these girls were all on the same shows as I was, yes.
Yes. And it seemed like Serena Deeb is way more respected as Shimmer than her time in WWE. They didn't really want her to work with none of the women just to be a sidekick with the CM Punk faction.
I have no comment on that one because I don't know anything about it.
Right. And definitely, what was your highlight moment of Shimmer also?
You do realize they fired me, so I don't have highlight moments from Shimmer.
Right. And that time and Shine, you definitely worked with Amber O'Neill and the likes of Santana. How was it working with these two young ladies?
Wayne, you got to come up with some other questions because you can't just keep asking me how it was to work with every girl that I've worked with. It's the same answer. I'm sounding like a broken record.
Right. And definitely you are now the Shine tag team title holders. That's one of
myself and Brandywine are known as Legendary, and we're the Shine tag team champions at this point right now. Yes,
and that's definitely. Y'all been putting on good work there at every internet pay-per-view. Definitely,
mm-hmm.
y'all definitely over with definitely the fans also.
Well, I don't know that we're over with the fans. I think the fans love to hate us, and that's our job, so that's fine.
Right.
You know.
Definitely. yes. The veteran heel team.
We are not the typical girls that are out there wrestling in most of the matches. You're definitely going to get an old school match out of the two of us. You know, we have Thunder Kitty as part of our stable, and Leilani Kai is our manager. And you know, we are legendary. There's between Leilani, Brandy, and myself. There's over 70 years of experience there.
Exactly. And definitely y'all look good for your ages, definitely.
What are you trying to say, we're old?
No, young.
Uh-huh. Watch it there.
And I think this promotion can actually grow more and more from each year from leaps and bounds, definitely. Going to other countries like China, or and it seems like it's going into the right direction for women's wrestling.
Well, I hope so, and I mean, I hope the fans of women's wrestling turn out, whether it's just by buying the pay-per-view or buying the downloads after the pay-per-view, and they just support Shine and help these women there that are at this company, because right now, you know, it is the main place for female wrestlers to go to get work is at Shine or Shimmer in the United States. There's really not another place for the girls to go. There's independent shows you can work on, but there's no place that has the quality of talent that they have there.
Right. Would you also consider also WSU also?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even realize I haven't worked for them in years. I didn't even realize they were still running. If WSU is still running, yeah, definitely. They've got some great talent there, too.
Yes. They've recently been under new ownership from Drew Cordero a couple years back.
Okay. I'm not familiar with who he is. I haven't worked for WSU, I'd say, since somewhere around 2007 or 2008.
Right. And definitely Sean McCaffrey was actually the original owner.
Mm-hmm.
That actually he put together a good he booked very good women's wrestling there also, and they actually told a story in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so far some of them criticize it of being, having men versus women matches most of the time since the new owner took over.
Again, I don't know anything about it, so I have no comment or opinion on it.
Right. Do you think there's a place for men working with women a lot in the business?
I'm old school.
Today?
I don't believe in it, but I know that the new thought, the new theories is yes, that men versus women is not that big of a deal. But I'm from the old school where I don't believe in that. No.
Right. And that kind of turn heads with the women workers that didn't really want to they didn't want to go back because they didn't agree with the new setting of men versus women.
Well, I mean, all girls have to make their own choice, and the bottom line, because when you wake up in the morning, the only person you have to look in the mirror at is you, and it. While I might not agree with it, it doesn't mean that I'm going to judge or condone or condemn you for it. About the only thing I really condemn in another girl worker for is if you want me to view you as a professional, don't show me pictures and don't go out and do apartment wrestling. Don't do things to disgrace us in the business as being professional.
Right. And those some of those places are not respectful, but the ones that are more respectful is Magnificent Ladies Wrestling. You ever heard of that promotion also?
Well, now you're talking about custom video work and not necessarily, you know, it's not about respect or disrespect or whatever. It's about the respect that you carry for yourself. If you're going to go work in an apartment and you're going to wrestle some guy, some Joe Schmo, in an apartment wrestling match, that is not professional wrestling. That is
right.
You just being willing to do whatever you have to do to get some money. Custom videos are completely different. Now, there are some custom video companies that are questionable and more into fetishes, and there are some like slamminladies.com that film legit professional wrestling matches between girls based off of what fans want to see and what they want to purchase. I mean, there's different levels of it out there, and I'm not going to knock one company over another.
Right. Have you also had a problem with some promoters also putting over women that they, if they do certain things? I just don't believe in that, like, you know, like promoting.
You've got that in the industry out there, especially the entertainment industry. You have the director's couch. There are several girls who got their breaks and got pushed up to the top of a company at WCW, WWF. There's a lot of girls who got their belts and got their push based off of who they were sleeping with. You know, that's on their conscience. Do I respect them? As a professional, I might respect what their career could have done and has done, but it doesn't mean I respect them as a person, no.
Right. But I definitely respect the, you know, the promoters that that doesn't harass the women that work for their company. Treat them as professional and go out there to work, put on the best work for everyone out there, and get more and trying to get them more promoted and stuff. That's what I have respect for also, those promoters.
Okay.
And do you have any upcoming matches or any other appearances you want to plug?
No, my next show is going to be March 6th on with Shine on WWN Live's iPay-Per-View. And, you know, as Brandywine and I defend our tag team titles against the Kimber Bombs.
Another match to look forward to. Definitely a great matchup with all different styles, also including Kimber Lee. Also is definitely one of those younger upcoming workers. Also,
mm-hmm.
It definitely
well,
looked good.
It's been a pleasure being on your show tonight. I do have to run, but thank you very much for having me. Okay.
All right. You have a blessed night.
Thanks. Have a good night. Bye bye.
Good night. That was the talented Malaya Hosaka. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we just having technical issues throughout on and off of the show, and it's the switchboard and of Blog Talk Radio. Since they're, you know, they're dealing with the weather up in New York and all over the Northeast, things just been fucking up. So just pardon with me sometimes pausing and everything else, just trying to make sure the boards and everything is working well. Things been going in and out of the studio, so. And don't forget this Wednesday, this Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, we have on our show former WWE Tag Team Champion. He's the son of WWE Hall of Famer Jerry Lawler, Brian Christopher Lawler. Will be here in the studio. And we'll definitely talk about the trap that was happening at the Royal Rumble. One of the worst Rumbles put together. We'll just talk about that topic and the pay-per-view and other news from TNA, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, and throughout all the indies also. This is Wayne Benitez signing off. Later, everyone.
So I let your bitch hang out with me, right? You know word got around I was fucking this.